Beloved, as we come to the scripture this morning, I woke up and I had this chorus on my heart, and I want to just open up and invite you to sing this with me. It's familiar. If you feel even so comfortable, would you hold your hands out and just acknowledge that the presence of Jesus is in our midst. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Jesus, we thank you that you are in our midst. We thank you that you're here with us. And so we pray that as we come to your holy word, you would meet us, the living word of God. And Jesus, you would touch our lives and speak to each one of us through your Holy Spirit this morning. For your glory, it's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue in our series on Mark, and we're still in the first chapter, and this first chapter has just been moving. This book moves. It's a page-turner. Already in this first chapter, we see John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus. We see Jesus being baptized by John in the Jordan. And then the Spirit just thrusting Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And then Jesus emerging from the wilderness with this sermon, with this message on his heart. This message, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so Jesus here in this gospel is preaching these words and he's enacting these words and he's calling his first disciples, just a small group, Andrew, James, and John, Simon, Peter. He's calling these to be with him on his mission. And now more immediately, Jesus is traveling to the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, to the city of Capernaum, this city that's in this mountainous area in Palestine. Jesus is going to invest the bulk of his ministry and the bulk of his time around the Sea of Galilee. And we find Jesus in the synagogue. We find him teaching with authority, teaching this message on his heart. And a man comes to him with an unclean spirit, and Jesus merely says the word and the spirit comes out of the man and the man is set free into a whole new life of wholeness. And so everything is very public in the synagogue. Loud cries from the man. The crowd is astonished at Jesus's preaching, but now Jesus is moving to a quieter place. He's moving to a more private place. And so let's take a look here in verse 29 through 34 and hear the word of the Lord. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came up and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered at the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we see here Jesus leaving the synagogue, moving to this house with Andrew, James, John, Simon Peter. And Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And for a moment then, everything slows down in this home. Everything slows down. And Jesus looks in the direction of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And he's paying attention to her. There's no swelling crowds here. There's no astonished crowds. It's just a small group of Jesus's followers with him. And Jesus paying attention to Simon Peter's mother-in-law in this moment. Jesus is no traveling healer. There's no set formulas for what he is doing, but he's paying attention in the moment to this woman who needs care. Picture yourself in this house. Picture yourself in this house with me. It's just before sundown. The Sabbath is coming to a close. Andrew, James, and John are here. Simon Peter is concerned for his mother-in-law. And Jesus is in our midst. I imagine Jesus' heart is full in this moment, full of compassion for this woman. Now, others down the line in Mark will object to Jesus healing on the Sabbath. But there's no one here to object to what Jesus is about to do. We see that he's already breaking from the conventional norms of healing on the Sabbath. And it says he looked in the direction of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And he took her by the hand. And he lifted her up. I'm remembering when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And at this time I had neat blonde hair, parted hairspray over to the side, a big smile. But at this time I also had a significant stomach illness. And my parents were out of answers. They had talked to doctors. They had taken me to many appointments. And there were no answers. And I remember being at church one morning. And I remember my mom and dad being there. I was probably dressed in khaki pleated pants and an Izod polo shirt and penny loafers. That was the look in the early 80s. But I remember after worship, the worship leader saying, if you need prayer of any kind, I want to invite you to come and be prayed for. And I remember my mom took me by the hand and she led me down to the front. And I knew there's no getting out of this. And there was a man there who was an elder of the church, and he laid his hand on me and he prayed for me. Very simple prayer. And at that moment, I believe the Holy Spirit was present with me in a very profound way, a very personal way, that I remember to this day. And I believe that my stomach was made well, and I can't explain it, but I know that God's presence and his being personal in my life was very real in that moment. It was my mom taking me by the hand for prayer. And when Jesus heals, when Jesus moves in our lives, it's never for a show, but it is always personal. When Jesus cleanses a leper later in this gospel, he stretches out his hand and he touches him. When Jesus heals Jairus's daughter, he takes her by the hand and he says, "Little girl, arise." When Jesus heals a deaf man with a speech impediment, Jesus takes him aside away from others and he touches his ears and his mouth. When some people bring a blind man to Jesus, Jesus takes him by the hand, leads him away from the village, away from any crowd, and he heals his eyesight. See, the healing and the movement of Jesus in our lives is always very personal. And I want to tell you this, that you can bring anything to Jesus. He will pay attention. He will look in your direction. Are you hurting? Are you wounded? Are you in need of Jesus's touch and movement in your life? Jesus is in your midst. He's here. And he's paying attention to Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He takes her by the hand. He lifts her up and the fever leaves her. She wastes no time. She gets up. She begins serving Jesus. This was what she was expected to do. And so she serves Jesus. The sun is going down. The Sabbath is now coming to a close. It's around 6 p.m. And people are now free to move about the city on the Sabbath. This is the time where you can kind of officially bring out those who are sick. The Sabbath is over. And we see that there's so much need in this city. Mark describes that the whole city is gathered at the door. And maybe Mark is exaggerating a little bit. I don't know. We know that historically excavating Capernaum, that the houses were very close proximity. So large crowds in one place would have been kind of difficult. But Mark is getting at something here, that there was an immense need in the city for Jesus Christ. The whole city was gathered at the door to be met by Jesus. And again, I love this, that Jesus is not going out on a healing campaign. He's not even necessarily looking for people to heal, but he's just responding in the moment with the authority that he has, the authority to preach and heal and restore people to wholeness. And he's just responding in the moment to the needs that come to him as he encounters them. And so think about this. The whole city is gathered at the door. Think about the city of Los Angeles. Think about our city, the whole city beyond these sanctuary walls, beyond the walls of your home, that there's such an immense need for Jesus Christ in our city. The whole city's coming to the door. And we see again that Jesus is very personal. Nothing is a show. Luke describes this story, and so Luke describes Jesus' actions like this. He laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. Every one of them. There was personal contact, personal touch. Jesus was moving in people's lives. And so if you ever, like me, feel when you look at the city of Los Angeles, millions and millions of people in greater Los Angeles, it can become kind of a faceless monolith. And yet for Jesus, each person has value. Each person matters to Jesus. Jesus is the healing balm for you, and he's the healing balm for this city. This is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53. He took our illnesses and he bore our diseases. And so there are times where our own needs are so acute, where we need the touch of Jesus in our life. And Jesus also wants us to remember that there is also a whole city that has this same need. When we know our own need, we then have empathy and compassion for this city that is in such need of Jesus. And so I want to just step back for a moment and say that stories like this can be challenging. They can be confusing even, because it doesn't provide answers for all the times when sickness goes unhealed, at least in this life. For many of us, we pray and we seek God for the needs of others, for our own needs, whatever that may be, for healing, for our own bodies, for anxiety, depression, all these things. And we pray and we spend time in counseling, and still there's this journey of, Jesus, are you listening? Jesus, do you care? And so we remember that this passage here, and it doesn't provide the easy answers on why sometimes we continue to struggle with things that we wish would go away. But we know that in Jesus Christ, that there is a fullness of healing that will come. That when Jesus comes, he will make everything new. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be the fullness and the wholeness of his healing one day. But I want to say this, that when Jesus moves in our lives, it is by the grace of God. And when we continue on to struggle with those things that say, God, would you please move here? And we don't see a breakthrough, that his grace is still with us. His grace is still sufficient for you and for me. Jesus is still in our midst. And so as I was praying, as I was just reflecting on our own community this week and what this might say to us, this is the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, I know that many of us here at FPCH have experienced a difficult time these past several months, a very challenging time. And it's been overwhelming at times. The social isolation and not being physically present with one another can make us feel that we've moved farther apart, not only physically, but emotionally with one another. And in this time of transition, in a time of pandemic, when we need to be in the same room, worshiping together, hugging one another, listening to each other, we can feel further apart. But I believe that Jesus is in our midst. I believe that he's in our midst. He desires to take us by the hand. He desires for taking each one of us by hand, where we may have a need, where we may have a sickness, where we may be wounded, where we may need God's grace to help us forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is in our midst. Jesus is paying attention to you. I recently finished this book called Amish Grace, How Forgiveness Transcended Tragedy. And it is a remarkable story, but it tells the story of the Amish community of Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, and how on October 2nd, 2006, Charles Roberts carried his guns, and many believe the suffering and the rage and the pain of his own tragedy, losing his own daughter at an early age, all of this he carried into a schoolhouse in an Amish community. And five school children lost their lives that day, and five others were seriously wounded. And the tragedy for this community was incomprehensible. But what was even more incomprehensible was what happened after this. Shortly after this happened, members of this Amish community were already reaching out to Robert's family, to his wife Amy and their children, to Robert's father. One man went to Robert's father's house, an Amish man, and he just held Robert's father in his arms, says for an hour, saying, "I forgive you, I forgive you." And in fact, this Amish community showed up at the burial of Roberts, Charles Roberts, who had inflicted this tragedy on this community. And at this burial, the funeral director said this. He said, "I was lucky enough to be at the cemetery when the Amish families of the children who had been killed came to greet Amy and offer their forgiveness. And that is something I'll never forget. I knew that I was witnessing a miracle." And in fact, if it seems so easy, it was very challenging for this community. After the burial, members of this Amish community met with Amy, the widow, and her children, her family, Robert's family, and members of this Amish community, and they sat down in this firehouse and they talked. And one Amish leader said this, "Amy just cried and cried and cried. And we talked and cried and talked and cried. And she was near me and I put my hand on her shoulder. And then I stood up and I talked and I cried." And another person said, "It was very moving that day. There was a higher power in the room." And it reminds me of Jesus, this man who put his hand on Amy's shoulder in forgiveness. And there was a higher power in the room, and Jesus is in our midst too. in our community and in this city. And so if Jesus is in your midst, what will you bring to him? What do you need from him? Do you need his grace to forgive another? Do you need his healing for wounds in your life? Jesus is always very personal and very present. And so I want to just invite you now, in the quietness of your heart, to lift up a prayer, to lift up a word. Jesus, I need you. Come, Lord Jesus. You are in my midst. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen.